This is Love University. I'm Dr. Alex Avila, your host for the show, clinical psychologist, author, and speaker. And our topics are about love and relationships and self-help. We're here to offer you a new solution to many problems that we might have. Many times we get into stress situations, we are overwhelmed at work and relationships. So this is a place where you can come to get lessons. We call it Love University. And now we're going to get into a very interesting topic. There used to be a song that was very popular, and the song goes, "Find me somebody to love." And the guy in the song starts singing, "Find me somebody to love," and repeats it. And many of us in our life, we're looking for that love, that special romantic relationship, whether we're single or even married. Sometimes we need to rekindle that love. And it's a very powerful emotion, the emotion of romantic love or being in love. You know, those butterflies in the stomach, that feeling of walking on air, that wonderful experience, which later changes into a different kind of love as it becomes mature. Now, in the American Indian tradition, they talk about two parts of the brain or two minds. One is called the wolf of love. One is called the wolf of hate. It's interesting that our brains can produce amazing feelings of love and compassion and empathy, but also can produce jealousy, resentment, emotional cruelty. So we want to develop the wolf of love, the love that's both romantic and also psychological and spiritual. But today's topic is romantic love. Now, we know that there are brain chemicals that are released when people fall in love. You know that feeling where you see that person and just want to be with them and you're on cloud nine? Something called dopamine, which is a certain brain chemical that gives you a high feeling. It's a reward in your mind. But also, if you have one-way love, and we talked about this in one of our previous shows, where you don't, the person you love doesn't love you back, you can actually feel physical pain in a part of your brain that makes you feel sad and dejected and even in pain. In terms of sexual aspects, the same aspect. When you're in lust, we have parts of the brain called hypothalamus that deals with the hunger and thirst. When you say thirsting after someone, and the amygdala, which deals with the emotional reactions of being in love with someone, sexually attracted to someone. And also the hormone oxytocin. This is a very interesting hormone that's stimulated when you touch someone, when you kiss, when you make love, even when you hug an animal or a friend. This is a hormone that males and females have. Females have a little bit more of it. But it is a very powerful feeling, this hormone that releases the feeling. And it helps you be connected to people. People that have more oxytocin usually have more social connection. They're less isolated socially. You can also have it during feelings of compassion and also worship if you're involved in some religious or spiritual activities. Now, when we talk about being in love, raise your hands if you've ever been in love. I know some people already see your hands raised out there in the radio universe. And some people, you know, may have been in love and then lost the love. And that feels very painful at times. So there are both pros and cons to being in love or having love in your life, in a romantic sense at least. One is, of course, you have better physical health. People that are in love have fewer colds, less heart attacks, heart disease. Psychologically, they also are better off. They have less depression, less substance abuse, lower stress levels. They even heal faster from wounds. They did a study where they had married couples that were in love and those that weren't in much as love, and they give them blister wounds in the experiment. And those that were more in love heal faster from their wounds. So love can even heal wounds. And it also can give you a longer life. People that are happily married live longer lives as well. Now, on the cons or the negative side, there's something called post-traumatic romantic disorder. Now, it's not necessarily a clinical term, but it does refer to the idea that, you know, you can suffer like PTSD, which is after a trauma, you suffer flashbacks and nightmares. And so people have the same reaction to romantic situations where they no longer have their soulmate. They feel rejected. They feel depressed. They have memories of that person or something can trigger it. You're driving by your favorite restaurant and all of a sudden you remember your soulmate or your person that is no longer with you. Or a song that reminds you of that person that you lost or that left you. And you maybe have tearful reactions. Now, there are also some myths about romantic love. For example, I teach psychology at the college, and I often ask my students, I'm going to give you three very simple quiz questions. If you get them all right, you're going to get some extra credit points. One of them is, who falls in love quicker, males or females? Now, a lot of people say, well, females, because females tend to be more emotional, their hearts open and all that. But actually, if you said that, you would be wrong. It is actually males. Males tend to fall in love faster. Males are often visual. They can see a woman physically, they like something about her, she's beautiful to them, or maybe even her voice. And males often say, I love you sooner than females. And they have more of that emotional feeling many times. Another question I ask in terms of males and females in love is who falls in love more frequently, males or females? Now you think, well, wait a minute. I would think males do because obviously they fall in love quicker. So, you know, if they don't work out, they're going to jump back into it. But ironically, it is actually females who fall in love more frequently. Because once a female is finished with a relationship, mentally she's done. She can move on to someone else. Where males often linger in the love for a woman. Let's say that he breaks up with his girl. And where's he going to be? He may end up in a bar with his buddies, right? He's drinking. Who's he going to call at 3 in the morning? Or text? it's going to be that lady that he loves. You know, she might go out with girlfriends and have a little chocolate and, you know, a movie or something. But then a week later, she might go out to a party and meet another guy that she's attracted to that she wants to get to know, and she can fall in love again. So males fall in love faster, women fall in love more frequently. How about this question? Who is more romantic in relationships? Now, most people say, wait a minute, females, I mean, who loves candy, who loves flowers? But if you think about it, who gives the candies and who gives the flowers? It is males, right? And you say, well, they do it because the woman wants it. But you know, there are a lot of males out there that actually are romantic in an idealistic sense. You know, they might see a woman down the street and she's something beautiful to him, and he falls in love with an image of her. So men can be very idealistic. But females are more pragmatic. Before they fall in love, they need to know a lot about the man. What kind of husband will he make? What kind of father, provider? Is he jealous? Does he have a bad temper? And other things like that. Is he good in bed? Is he good to his mom? So all these things are very practical. So a female may see a guy, and maybe he's a handsome guy, but if there's nothing beyond that, she may not pursue it. She may not fall in love. She has to know a lot more about him. So men tend to be more romantic in the idealistic sense. They have that, the so-called notion. Now, who here wants to fall in love? Raise your hands. Okay, I see our engineer over here raised her hand. Now, I don't know, it's been a while for you, but some people, you know, it's been a while, you know. They may have dated and then it didn't work out. Even in our society, you know, people meet very quickly. You know, we have a lot of applications and internet, but it's very hard to meet the right person. People are superficial and they may not be honest about who they are. And then you find out when the mask comes off that you're really incompatible. Here are some tips. Let's say you meet someone nice, interesting, you might be compatible. They say that coffee dates are a very good approach, not just because it's a short time, because it's warm. They say the warmer you are physically, you're going to feel more warm emotionally. So there's more chance of kindling something if there's a warm drink. Don't drink something cold unless you're in a cold place. Another tip for falling in love or attracting someone is to embarrass yourself. Like, wait a minute, embarrass yourself? Some people are kind of shy and they think, oh no, I embarrass myself all the time. But actually, vulnerability is a very attractive trait if done in the right way. I'm not saying that you dedicate yourself to be a total non-winner, but that you show a little bit of vulnerability. And they did a very interesting study where they had males and females ask each other 36 questions and look at each other eye to eye. And they called this the 36 questions for falling in love. Many times there is a positive connection that occurred after asking these 36 questions. And they divided the questions into different levels or tiers. The first level is a little, you know, it's less vulnerable. It's, for example, what's your perfect day like? My perfect day is I'd walk my dog, I go to the beach, I spend a little time with some friends, maybe listen to music at night, maybe have a nice meal. The next level is a little more intimate, a little more personal. What is your greatest accomplishment in life? I want to write a great American novel. I want to, you know, help children in Africa. I want to adopt animals. My first child that was born. And that shows more of who you are, right? It shows a little more vulnerability, a little more openness. And then finally, a question could be like, share your most embarrassing moment. My fly was open when I was in this big conference. Or I went to the opera and I had something on my pants that looked funny. Or I laughed at a funeral without wanting to, right? Someone has to start laughing and I started laughing. So those kind of things really open yourself up to being known by the other person. And that person can appreciate that. As long as you don't exaggerate and come off like you're not with it. Another tip for falling in love or attracting someone to be in love is to create a secret language. You know, like a little code word. Maybe you like the X-Men series, so you come up with, you like Professor X, right? You're X-ray vision. Or let's say that you think of that figure that changes shapes in the X-Men, a Mystique. So you can say to someone, hey, you're Mystiquing today. And the advantage of having a secret language is that it builds a sense of shared identity and belonging. Both of you guys are speaking the same kind of understanding. And they've actually done studies where they found that couples in a relationship or a marriage that speak similar to each other often have longer, happier relationships and marriages. They understand each other. There's a depth of connection. Another little tip is engage in passionate kissing. Once obviously you know the person, there's mutual attraction. Because passionate kissing is a form of deeper connection, you know, where you really feel that person. And people, they ask them, what do you remember about the first part of your relationship? The time you spent doing certain things. I remember the passionate kissing, the depth of the kiss. Now here's an interesting one. Say I love you before having sex. They did a study where they asked couples what felt better, saying I love you before having sex or after having sex. They said before having sex, hearing the words I love you made a stronger impression. And they often had stronger relationships as a result of that. Because before having sex, there's a certain emotional commitment and investment if you mean the words, if you really believe that you love the person. After having sex, it could be just a pleasure or the moment that made you say it. So definitely before having sex is the key. Saying I love you gives you that strong feeling. Now, let's say those are things about falling in love. You know, you start to date someone. How about if you're already in a relationship or a marriage? How do you stay in love? And that may be even the hardest thing because, you know, we know there are brain chemicals that are released, the endorphins and other chemicals, dopamine, that makes you feel high. But those chemicals go away after 9 months or after several years. And then what do you do? You gotta re-energize the chemicals in the brain. Re-fall in love. One of the things that you should do is to have a 3-to-1 ratio of positive to negative comments. For example, many times people criticize each other. They blame each other. You did this, or you've done that. But we know in research that the more positives you have, if it's like a ratio of 3-to-1, the relationship is stronger and healthier. For example, if I say to you, you're a terrible husband, lousy lover, and a horrible father, but you make good enchiladas. Well, obviously, that's not gonna feel very good. But if I say to you as a woman, you know, you are a tremendous lover. You're a great dad, a wonderful husband, but you're a little bit messy. Okay, I feel a lot better now because I got the positives first and then came the negative, and it's a ratio of 3-to-1. So that's really important, whether it's the husband or wife or male, female talking to each other. To always keep that in mind. People need positive reinforcement. They need positivity in relationships to improve and to keep the connection. Another thing that's important is that sometimes in relationships, it becomes a power struggle. Somebody wants to be more in control than the other person, trying to change the person. The other person feels resentful, perhaps. And this is a phrase I like to use. I call it the 90-10 rule. People say, well, should it be a 50-50 relationship? Shouldn't we both be equal? No, I say it should be 90%, 10%. There are times when you're going to give 90% and they're going to give only 10%. Or there'll be other times when they give 90% and you give 10%. But in the long run, it's going to balance out. It's going to be even. But in the short term, it can vary. You know, some one of you may be more dominant in one area or more in control. The other person may be more of a follower. And that's okay. As long as you have the mutual goal and there's mutual love, you can build toward a long-term relationship that's happy if you can take turns, you know, based on the percentages of the influence that you have. Another factor is be more physically affectionate. Touchy-feely works, where there's hugs and kisses. Now, some couples may not like physical affection as much, but even if you don't, it's good to have it once in a while to add that little touch, a little embrace, a little kiss. Sleep closer together. They find studies that the oxytocin hormone is released more when you're hugging someone and closer. And that's important. So married couples start to sleep in separate sides of the bed and maybe separate sides of the house pretty soon because they lose that physical contact, that physical connection that brings emotional connection. Another interesting tip for keeping the love alive is to limit technology use. Now, we know we have our smartphones, we have our internet in many parts of the world, and Love University, we reach a lot of countries, and it's really spreading. In the U.S., obviously, it's number one, the technology, but it takes time away from the intimacy, right, from the face-to-face contact. He's on his cell phone, she's on hers, and they text each other, and they're across the room. They can just get up and give each other a hug and talk, but they don't do that because technology interferes. So I like to tell people, do a technology fast. Say, hey, today, this evening, for 5 hours, I'm going to turn off everything. All the cell phones, all the internet is going to be gone, and I'm just going to have a real conversation with someone. I'm going to sit down with them, enjoy that their company, whether it's a spouse or a partner. And that's going to bring it together, you know, because technology can be very helpful in many ways, but it can connect, but can also disconnect. People become so tied up with it that they lose track of the real emotion. Say thank you. Gratitude. We've done a lot of studies on this, and we talked about this a lot on Love University. Gratefulness is one of the keys to happiness. People that are grateful have 30% less depression, 40% more sleep, and often have better relationships. You know, your wife cooked something nice. Say, thank you, honey. I really appreciate that. Or he did something around the house. That was great that you did that. Any little token of appreciation can go a long way to eliminate resentment, to eliminate hurt feelings. It can be a buffer. It could be kind of like a builder of positive feelings when you start to say, be grateful. The power of a kiss, also very important. Now, we mentioned earlier in terms of dating, but even when you're married, a kiss is like a mini connection. Think of it as 30 seconds of reconnecting, right? A nice kiss can, you know, make you feel comfortable and secure and give you that beautiful feeling that can start your day or finish your day. So remember that. Kiss is a mini connection. It's 30 seconds. It doesn't take a lot of time, just a brief little kiss, right? Everyone ready to kiss right now at home? Find your partner, give them a nice kiss. If it's a dog, it's okay, right? We don't talk about that. Incorporate surprise. Many times people tell me, and I do couples therapy, is that they lose the excitement of the relationship. It becomes boring. They make love in the same way. They go to the same restaurant. Try it up a little bit. In lovemaking, try something different. Try a new place to go out. A new activity, a new adventure. Take them on a mystery date. You might even put a blindfold on them and lead them somewhere and maybe on the beach and have a romantic dinner on the beach. Anything that's unique and special can bring the spark back in the relationship, the excitement. Another thing that's important is to observe your partner's passions. What is it they love? Maybe they like kite flying, sewing, gardening, opera, country dancing. And maybe, you know, you can participate. It may not be your thing. You may not be a great fan of that, but you can try it sometimes. You can at least listen to them talk about their great hobby and their passion. You can encourage them and they can do the same for you. That's very powerful. When someone can listen to you and say, hey, I really appreciate that you love this, you know, I encourage you to do it, whatever it might be, motorcycle riding or canoeing or doing home decoration. Everyone's got some little thing they love, little passion. And sometimes in unhappily married couples, they criticize each other. Oh, you spend so much time with that, riding motorcycles or so much time cooking and, you know, you don't go out. But they have a passion for it. You need to encourage that. And that will increase the love in your marriage or relationship. Go on double dates. It doesn't always have to be just you and her or him and you. You can go out with a couple, and that can be a nice interaction. You share energy and time with other people. It can bring a little spice back in your relationship. So incorporate double dates or also other social activities. So the idea in all this stuff here is really to maintain the love that you have, if you have it, or to really discover the love that you have. And we always say that the first part of Love University is loving yourself. Now, we know that it's very hard to love someone else if we don't love ourselves. If we criticize ourselves, some people even hate themselves in some way. There's no real way to find a love partner if you do that. So love yourself, whether it's exercising, meditating, religious practice, spiritual practice, a career that you love, spending time with animals, nature, or children, artistically, being creative, whatever it is that inspires you, that makes you feel love within yourself, is an amazing thing that can resonate outwardly. So you can find someone that actually appreciates what you do and may enjoy the same activities and has that same level of love energy that you do. So that's very crucial. Loving yourself, understand the power of love. The love can transform people. People that are lonely, depressed, can be transformed by a strong, powerful love. It can change the world. So you want to start with loving yourself and then with a partner that you may have and improve the lives of your partner and also the lives of other people in the world. So this is what we talk about at Love University, loving yourself, others, and a higher nature. Now, I'm Dr. Avila. I will be here every week. Wednesday, you will be able to get our podcast. And we're going to have some new lessons. Now, we're going to be coming up on the new spring semester. It's coming up in January, a new year, 2018. So I want everyone to really write to me an email at lovetype4u@AOL. That's LOVETYPE, the number 4U@AOL.com. With any questions you might have, comments, suggestions, to be part of our Love Type community, our Love University community. And also call us at 310-226-8090. And again, we offer counseling and other ventures here. And we also have events. We're going to have a big Valentine's masquerade party for those people that are single to find your compatible partner based on personality type. So everyone's going to wear a mask and we're going to have a sticker with your personality type. So we call it Inside Out Love, coming from the inner core of the person. So a lot of things that we're wanting to do at Love University, and we invite you to call us and write us. And again, remember, loving yourself, others, and a higher nature. Love University. Until next time, this is Dr. Avila.